I would open up your Bibles with me to Exodus chapter 15. I'll be reading two verses of Scripture there. Exodus chapter 15. While you find your place, I'd just like to mention a few things leading up to this time. We know that God came on the scene and brought the children of Israel out of Egypt's bondage. They had come to the Red Sea, and God made a great deliverance there for the children of Israel for them to escape from Pharaoh and his armies. And we know they came across on dry ground, and when Pharaoh and them thought they could do the same, God brought the great Red Sea down upon them. And as they were on the shore, Moses, in chapter 15, the first 19 verses, he had a song of praise and worship of the Lord. And I'd like to read just two verses from there, verses 2 and 17. Verse 2, "The Lord is my strength and my song, and he has become my salvation. He is my God, and I will prepare him a habitation, my Father's God, and I will exalt him." Verse 17, "Thou shalt bring them in and plant them in the mountain of thine inheritance, in the place, O Lord, which thou hast made for thee to dwell in the sanctuary, O Lord, which is thy hands have established." The first time I believe that sanctuary is mentioned in the Bible is here in verse 17, and there's no doubt I believe it's looking forward to the time when God would give Moses the instructions, the blueprint, if you will, to build the first sanctuary, the tabernacle there in the wilderness. But I believe it might also be looking into the tabernacle Solomon built. And I'm not so sure, but it might be even talking about the tabernacle God has built by his hands, looking on in the future, even to our day and the eon of ages. But I believe, so tonight I would like to, just for the first few moments, speak about the instructions and the times that Moses built the tabernacle and Solomon as well, and they close by tonight focusing on the tabernacle, the sanctuary that God dwells in today. And if you want to put a title or anything to this tonight, is "Prepare Me to Be a Sanctuary." First, let's look at the tabernacle that Moses built. Now, I'm not going to spend a lot of time. I'm going to be mentioning a lot of verses. I'm not going to be going to any of those. But first, in Exodus chapter 25, first 8 verses, "The Lord spoke unto Moses, saying, Speak unto the children of Israel, that they bring me an offering of every man that giveth it willingly with his heart, ye shall take my offering." And in verse 8 it says, "And let them make me a sanctuary, that I may dwell among them, according to all that I show thee, after the pattern of the tabernacle." Note in verse 2, God told Moses, he says, unto the children of Israel, that they bring me an offering of every man that giveth it willingly. God was wanting an offering to build his sanctuary, but he was not about to pull or push or force it upon those to bring an offering. It wasn't going to be a high-pressure sales pitch from Moses. It wasn't going to be one of these things that God says, "I promise you I'll give you tenfold back if you give unto me this day." And you see that on TV, and I'm not one of those prosperity preachers. I don't believe in it. You can see it on TV. You give me, I'm looking for 1,000 people to plant $1,000 seed in my ministry. I don't buy that. If you do, I'm afraid you might have been taken. But God, I believe, will reward us, will bless us, if we have a willingly heart. He's looking for us to give willingly. Not forced, but from a heart of thanksgiving. He's looking for us to give willingly. No high-pressure sales pitch. And then he says in verse 8, "Let them make me a sanctuary, that I may dwell among them." I believe it's been God's desire to dwell among his people from the time he put Adam and Eve in the garden those 6,000 years ago. And it's still his desire today to dwell among his people. It's sad, though, I don't believe people have a real desire for God to dwell among them. I don't. You see it in the world, they definitely don't. But as Christians, we should have a desire for the blessings and benefits that we arrive from serving God. The benefits so outweigh anything the world has to offer. The peace, the joy, the happiness, a comfort in the time of soul, a great help and a source in the time of need. Oh, what benefits we arrive if we would just ask God to dwell among us. And that's what he told Moses, and he told Moses, I want to dwell among them in a sanctuary. And the Hebrew word for sanctuary is mikdash, if I pronounce that correctly. It's a consecrated place, a holy place, for there is where God will abide, in a holy place. He's not going to abide in anywhere else, but in a holy place. And in chapter 35 of Exodus, we can see the results of the people. They came, everyone with a heart of willingness, a man and woman, all came willingly to give an offering to the Lord. And in chapter 36, we see that the wise men that were going to do the work,
of the sanctuary came to Moses and told him, oh, we've got a plenty. We got more than we need for the work that God's called for us to give. Oh, we can't outgive God. Oh, but Lord, help us to come with a willing heart and give. And I'm not here talking about tithes and offerings. Now, let me say this. If you're not paying your tithes and offerings, I highly encourage you to do so of all ages. Give unto the Lord. It's what God requires, the tithes. And then don't rob them of offerings. That's where our blessings really come in. But that's not what I'm talking about tonight. I'm talking about us, our lives, ourselves. Money's part of it. Tithes is part of it. But that's not my focus tonight, so let me just say that right now. But the result, the people willingly gave. Now, did everybody give in that congregation of the children of Israel, that million plus as they left Egypt? I tend to not think so. Knowing that bunch, I just tend not think everybody did. But I believe that everybody did have a willing heart. And they gave so much that they said, don't bring no more. And in Exodus 40, verses 33, 35, Moses has finished the work. Then the cloud covered the tent of the congregation. And the glory of the Lord filled the tabernacle. And Moses was not able to enter into the tent of the congregation because of the cloud above thereon. And the glory of the Lord filled the tabernacle. Oh, what God will do when we give. Give unto Him willingly from our hearts. Give Him our lives. What He will do, He came down in the children of Israel in the tabernacle they built because they gave from a willing heart. They gave unto the Lord. And the Lord received and came down and dwelt amongst them. Oh, if we would just give, we can't outgive the Lord. In Solomon's temple, we see in 1 Chronicles chapter 22, we read of David telling Solomon of his call, of his desire to build the temple. He wanted to build God a temple, but God told David, no, you can't do it. You've been a king of war, shed much blood. But your son who will sit on the throne, your throne will be the one who will build me a temple. So then David goes in chapter 29, he addresses the congregation about building the Lord's tabernacle. He said, the work is great. He said, for the palace is not for man, but for the Lord God. And then in verse 9, he says, who is then willing to consecrate his service this day unto the Lord? He said, the work is great, but who will be willing to consecrate themselves, give themselves, dedicate themselves in giving unto the Lord to build this tabernacle for the Lord? And in this day and age, the work for the Lord is great. And we need to count the cost if we're going to give unto the Lord our lives, our times, our efforts, our talents, our abilities, our money. Are we going to be willing? We need to count the cost. And then dedicate, consecrate ourselves unto God, unto the work of the Lord, whatever He may ask us to do, wherever He may ask us to go, let us give willingly unto the Lord. And then David got his response in verse 9, then the people rejoiced for that they offered willingly, because of with a perfect heart, they offered willingly to the Lord. And David the king also rejoiced with great joy. Just as Moses' people at that time gave willingly, the people here with Solomon gave willingly into the work of God. And when they finished the tabernacle and they had the ark, and Solomon with all the congregation gathered before the ark, they gave sheep and oxen, which could not be told nor numbered for multitude. And then in verses 13 and 14, it came even to pass as the trumpeters and singers were as one to make one sound to be heard in praising and thanking the Lord. And when they lifted up their voice with the trumpets and cymbals and instruments of music and praised the Lord, saying, for He is good, for His mercy endures forever. That then the house was filled with a cloud, even the house of the Lord, so that the priests could not stand to minister by reason of the cloud, for the glory of the Lord had filled the house of God. When God saw the willingness and saw the sacrifices, He came down mightily in the midst, for it's God's desire to dwell among His people. And I believe the people of Israel at that time had a great desire for God to dwell among them. And they gave willingly for the building of God. And God proved His faithfulness. He came down and dwelt amongst them and blessed them mightily. Oh, that we would have such a desire. Now, Solomon, in his prayer, when he's beginning to build, he said, Lord, how can we build You a house? How can we build You a house that could contain You? The heaven of heavens cannot contain You. But you know what they did? They did what God asked them to do. They gave and they built. They did what they could do for God, and God took care of the rest. And if God asks you to do something, you don't see the end, you can't see how you're going to do it. Do your best for God. Give your best willing unto God, and God will take care of the rest. But help us to be willing. Willing is to be to God's hand, that He may be able to use us and bless us for His glory. Now, the sanctuary that God resides in today is not made by man's hands. They were made by the hands of God. 1 Corinthians 6:19-20, Paul writes, "What? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which ye have of God, and ye are not your own? For ye were bought with a price, therefore glory God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's." We sing the chorus from time to time, Lord, prepare me to be a sanctuary, pure and holy, tried and true. With thanksgiving, I'll be a sanctuary for you. We are the sanctuary. As born again, cleansed by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, we are the temple of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit will not reside in that is not clean and pure and holy. The Old Testament saints gave from a willing and perfect heart, and I believe is an example for us to follow today, that we give from a willing and thankful heart. Now, I believe the Old Testament saints had a lot to be thankful for, but I don't think they have anything more to be thankful for than we do. And I believe that their desire to give willingly and from a perfect heart goes right in line with the Lord's first and great commandment that He taught, love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, soul, mind, and strength. I believe if we do that, we will give willingly. I believe you're probably wasting your time if every time you drop a tithe or an offering in the plate and you think, man, I could use that on something else. I believe that. Is that willingly? No. But it ought to be a pleasure. You ought not sit down and try to scribble and scrap and think, oh man, I just can't do it this week. You know, the first thing that ought to come out of your paycheck ought to be a check written to the Lord. You notice I said the Lord. Now, it might be to Abundant Life Tabernacle. We're just the stewards of what God has blessed us with. You're given to God. But again, I'm not speaking on that. Forgive me, I don't mean to be beating that to death, because we surely have a good church in that thing. But we need to give everything we have, ensuring that this temple, this sanctuary that the Lord is coming to reside in, that we're giving everything to Him. Everything. It's easy to say, oh, I love Jesus, and then the next day to go out and live like the world. Is the Lord going to reside in something that's living like the world? The children of Israel gave so much, they told Moses, the wise men that were going to build, we've got more than enough. Help us, Lord, I pray in our lives to give, give, give. Again, it's not about money, but giving our time, our talents, our efforts, our abilities to the work of the Lord, to this church. So the Lord can go forth and do His work through us. Let us be willing to give from a heart of thanksgiving. Give unto the Lord. And then see what the Lord will do. In that chorus it says, let us be a sanctuary pure and holy. Earlier I mentioned that the sanctuary, the Hebrew word mikdash, meant consecrated place, a holy place. And if God's going to dwell in our hearts, just as it was for Moses in the sanctuary, it's going to be for us today. He's not going to dwell in anything less than holy. That's God's banner. It was holiness in Moses' day. It's holiness now. It's holiness forever. It's God's standards throughout the ages. It's holiness forever. Let's get used to it. Let's accept it. Let's love it because it's going to be with us forever. The times may change. People's values may change. Their views on things will change. But God's values, His standards, don't change. Yesterday we had a wedding ceremony here. This is God would ordain it. Man and woman come together in a beautiful ceremony. That's God's ordained will. That's what He wants for man and woman. I heard the other day on the newscast on Fox News. I watch Fox News a lot. But they were talking about an NBC reporter doing a report on the Olympics. And this reporter said that he's doing a story on the skier, United States skier, and he said something along the line that this man's done well with his alternate lifestyle. But his alternate lifestyle is this. He wants to be a pastor, a preacher, as soon as the Olympics are over. He's been married to the same woman for 8 years, has one child by this woman. Now, this NBC reported it as an alternate lifestyle. That is the lifestyle God ordains and desires all men and women to do. But that is exactly what the world, and I'm not even going to say the world, but the devil wants. He wants to turn everything so upside down that gay and lesbian, homosexual, woman marrying woman, man marrying man, wants to become the normal. for homosexual pastors or ordained to preach in churches. That's what the world wants to become normal. So that when man and woman says, Shelly and Mike got married yesterday, we'll be considered an alternate. And not going to be considered. That's where the world is coming from. If we want to find out the holiness standards that God wants in our lives, we're not going to find it on NBC or any of the other networks at 8 o'clock family hour. All you're going to see there is more of the gay and homosexual lifestyle being promoted, being pushed down in our society. And that's the family hour. And you might not even find a whole lot of what God wants as far as holiness standards on some so-called Christian channels. You're going to find it on the pages of God's holy word. And it hasn't changed over the years. It's not going to change for you and me. Let us just accept it, love it, and live it. Amen? But if we are to have or expect God, the God of all creation, to come and dwell within our hearts and lives, it's going to be holiness. It's going to be based on God's holy word. And then in the course it said, you know, after it said pure and holy, it says tried and true. I'm really not sure how that works out, because when I think of a sanctuary, it's a place where God's going to abide. So I think about my home, where I abide. I want a home that's tried and true, but it's going to protect me from the snow and the rain and the storms and all that's going on outside. That's what I expect. But the thing is, God doesn't need me as a sanctuary to protect him from the storms. He don't need that from me. He wants me to be that sanctuary, but he doesn't have to have old Tom there. So why is it tried and true? Well, this is what I came up with. I believe as we go through the storms and the battles of life, it'll strengthen us. We'll become a tried and true saint of God that He can trust in us and rely upon us. When troubles and storms come, that He can send us forth and know we won't buckle and fall apart at a moment's notice. He wants somebody that's tried and true, battle-tested, that we can stand for Him whenever He needs us to go forth in His name, that we can be tried and true. Last Sunday night, we had another good singing night, and enjoyed by all, and Sister Holly came, and she sung, I've learned to trust in Jesus. And we all know that the trial they've been through the past couple of weeks, losing their first child, after only a little over a month of pregnancy, and when he called me that, I think it was a Sunday night, he called me, and he's brokenhearted and you know, troubled by it. And then I called him a day or so later, and I told him, you know, the church has been praying for you. He said, you know, Brother Tom, just yesterday, Holly and I were talking, and you know, still broken about, you know, losing our baby. He said, but you know, I could feel the Holy Spirit come by. And I told Holly, he said, they're praying for us, Holly. And he said, we were strengthened in this, and God's helped us get through this, and because we've come to learn to trust in Jesus. And in that song, part of it says, if I never had a problem, I never knew that God could solve them. I never knew that faith in the Word of God, what Word of faith, I never knew what faith in the Word of God could do. Through it all, I learned to trust in Jesus. When we go through trials and battles and we trust in the Lord, He'll see us through. We'll learn to trust in God. We'll learn to trust in His Word. Whether it's a written Word or He gave us a Word, we can trust in God. And we'll become that tried and true sanctuary that He can reside in us and have confidence in us. And we'll grow for His glory. You know, anything we go through, anything we give to God, you know what? It's for our good. It's for our glory. Not our glory, but our good. It's for God's glory, not ours. Excuse me, I got that a little backwards, but God's good. And the song ends, then with thanksgiving, I'll be a living sanctuary for you. With thanksgiving. You know, I just mentioned the Old Testament saints had a lot to be thankful for as they came out of Egypt, saw God's great hand deliver them. Coming across the Red Sea, God's great deliverance there, and on, time and time again, how God provided miracle after miracle. But you know, I believe this age of grace we're living in, we have more thankful than any other period of time in man's history, I believe. Living in God's grace, His marvelous grace. We were dead in sin, living in the devil's den of iniquity, headed for the devil's hell. But God sent His precious Son, Jesus, who died for us and gave us life. And not just life, but an abundant life. And not just an abundant life today, but life eternal with our Lord and Savior. Amen. Amen. We have so much to be thankful for. Amen. And I think so many times of Eddie's devotion that he gave 2 months or so ago, about his thought was, What if you woke up today with only the things you gave thanks for yesterday? What did you thank God for yesterday? We have so much to be thankful for. So much. Even if you're going through a hard time, sickness, finances, troubles on the job, whatever it might be, there's a whole lot of people a whole lot worse off than us. We have a lot to be thankful for. Don't let a day go by that you're not thanking God for something, somebody. Man, you're married, you got a great spouse. Thank God for your spouse. Thank God for your home. Thank God for your finances. Thank God for your job. Thank God for your health. Thank God for this church. Thank God for Pastor and Brother. What's your name? Brother and Sister Jones. You've only been my only pastor. We have so much to be thankful. The words thank you, hallelujah, words of praise ought to roll off our lips just as natural as saying good morning to your wife or your husband. Amen? It ought to be just as natural and come off our lips as honey dripping off a honeycomb. It ought to be a natural thing. And you know what? The Lord loves to hear praise. He inhabits the praises of the people. We ought to offer the sacrifice of praise. That's our lips giving thanks unto the Lord Jesus Christ throughout the day. Not just when you're in prayer, but many times you start thinking about Jesus and His goodness. Brother Jones laid awake 2 hours tonight thanking Him for all that He's been through, all that God's done for Him, all that He's brought Him through. Man, God is good. We ought to go through the day thanking God. Thank Him for all that He's done. Amen. We might not have the history of Brother Jones, his salvation for these past 58 years. If it's only been 1 year, how much do you have to be thankful for? You're not headed for hell anymore. You're headed for glory. Amen. Thank God for it. Amen. Amen. And then today, I thought I was done with this. And I was sitting here today and the Lord just dropped this in my heart. And so I came out today earlier than normal to work on this just for a minute. Just a quick thought. But one last temple. One last sanctuary. Not built by man, but built by God. A place where the saints of God shall reside forever and ever. Revelation 21 verses 9 and 10. And there came unto me, unto John, one of the seven angels which had the seven vials full of the seven last plagues, and talked with me, saying, come hither, and I will show thee the bride of the Lamb, the bride, the Lamb's wife. And he carried me away into the Spirit to a great and high mountain, and showed me that great city, the holy Jerusalem, descending out of heaven from God. And the next 10 verses, he goes on talking about the gates and the temple and the size and the height and the width. And he talks about the 12 foundations and all the stones and all. Talking about His greatness. And then verses 22, 23 says, and I saw no temple therein, for the Lord God Almighty and the Lamb are the temple of it. And the city had no need of the sun, neither of the moon, to shine in it, for the glory of God did lighten it, and the Lamb is the light therein. Amen. That's where we're going to reside. And God will be the temple therein. And we will reside with the Lord forever and ever and ever. And you know, we talk about what our body's going to be like when we get to glory. We know it's going to be a glorified body. But you know, it's going to have a heart. It's going to have a mind. It's going to have feelings. Or how else could we stand at the throne of God and worship and thank Him? Oh, hallelujah. When we stand in glory, worshiping the Lord, praising Him forever and ever. Psalms 151 says, praise ye the Lord, praise God in His sanctuary. I believe no matter how long we'll be there, because I can't figure up eternity, because there's no ending, but ever how long that's going to be, we're going to be worshiping and praising the glory of the Lamb. Amen. We're going to be praising. And you know it's going to be holiness there? Amen. It's holiness forever. It's holiness today. It's going to be holiness there. I'm looking forward to going. And we need in these last days, these last hours that we live, be willing to give our all to the Lord Jesus Christ, that He may come down and bless our hearts and fill us to overflowing for His glory, our good. That this church may go forward. There's a great work for us to do. We may not see how it's all going to get done. I have no idea how long the Lord's going to tarry, but I know this. If it's a day or 28 years, the Lord's going to need us to give ourselves unto Him, that His Word and His work may go forward. Amen. That we may build for His glory. Amen. Let us stand. Let us come around and say, Missy, if you would, come and pray. Prepare me to be a sanctuary. It's in your course books. I don't know the number.
What did I say?